our special guest, Sébastien Ross. Hi, Sébastien.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Bertrand.
Talk into the mic,
oh,
please.
Sorry. Yes. Hi, everyone. Hi, Bertrand.
Yeah, that's better. Much better. So, Sébastien and I are longtime friends. We've actually known each other from before we were working at Microsoft.
I'm not sure. Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I first met you in PDC in Los Angeles, 2003. So we must have known before that.
Yep.
Okay.
Sébastien has been working on Orchard for a few years.
Orchard. You have a French accent. I don't know where it's coming from.
I have no idea. It's very, very strange. Okay, yeah. So today's show is going to be entirely in French.
No. We can't.
Why not?
It would be too.
So I had this feedback once at a conference, you know, in the feedback form, saying, "Yeah, it was a good talk. Too bad it was given in French." So yeah, that happens. Anyway, okay. So today we are talking about not just Orchard. We are talking about Orchard 2, which is the next version of Orchard, and that runs on .NET Core.
We are talking about whatever you want. Orchard 2, 3, 1.
We can talk about Orchard 3. That's a thing.
No. Well, no.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay. All right. Well, what's new?
You want me to say anything I know about Orchard 2?
Yes.
Well, okay. So not specific subjects. Well, Orchard 2, right now it's actually nothing. It's just a project, something we are working on. So just to place things into context, I work in the ASP.NET team, the MVC team. And as part of that, my goal is to make a CMS, a framework, and a modular framework to build apps so that anyone can create apps from modules and specifically a CMS. So the idea being that if we can make Orchard 2 work on .NET Core with MVC, then anyone can make any app because Orchard 2 is so complex with many issues that it should solve all the issues that we could find in MVC. So that's the goal of the internal goal of Orchard 2 for the team. And publicly, if we can ship a nice CMS, then that would be great, like Orchard 1, but running on .NET Core. So why .NET Core? First, to be able to ship a CMS multi-platform. So people ask to be able to develop their websites using .NET on a Mac or to run their site on Linux, but they still like Orchard CMS. So it's nice that we can do it on .NET Core, and also to learn from what we made with Orchard 1 and try to make something even better, faster, more extensible, and fix the issues we had in Orchard 1 that could not be fixed without breaking things. So we can break in Orchard 2. That's why we start again. So we started the project. So Orchard 2 we started around last year, I'd say, when we knew that .NET Core will be something in the year after. And we started envisioning what could Orchard 2 be. And some people from the community said, OK, let's create a repository and start with the beta version of .NET Core to do some Orchard 2. So for instance, Nick Main is the guy who started everything on the project and created the repository, committed the first source. And then I personally started to work really seriously on the new version of Orchard 2 on around November, something like this. So it's been almost a year now, and we have something that works and can be demoed, and we show progress every week during our meetings. You know these meetings because you are at these meetings.
Yep.
So yeah, we've been making some constant progress and working on new features and validating all the concepts we had in mind for Orchard 2, and it's currently starting to be pretty stable. in terms of new concepts.
So you mentioned a couple of names of people who are contributing to Orchard 2, because actually there are more external contributions than Microsoft contributions nowadays.
Nowadays, I would say as much, because I'm mostly full time on that. Mostly full time, because there are some periods where I need to work on MVC or ASP.NET in some modules to help some features. But mostly, I'm doing Orchard 2 right now. And these contributors, they don't have a full time job to work on Orchard 2. So it's just 1-2 hours per day per week when they can help. But there are many people. So I mentioned Nick Main because he started Orchard 2 project. And he was one of the first contributors of Orchard 1. We have someone named Jean-Thierry who's working on dynamic compilation in Orchard 2. We have someone next named Alexander who's working on all the CI and MyGet feeds for Orchard 2 and the related projects. We have Kevin Chalet who's working on the Oath, and also Sergio who's working on the Oath feature, Oath 2 feature. We have, I don't want to forget anyone, but for Orchard 2, let's say we have around 10 people who have committed some code already. And it's something that can't even be used right now. They're just working on things that don't really ship so far. So it's very interesting to be able to gather all this help.
Nice.
And there are 10 times more people still working on Orchard 1. And contributing to Orchard 1.
So yes, of course.
Because we have to maintain the two projects at the same time, working on a new version and still making the Orchard 1 evolve, fix bugs, create new features, deploy.
Yeah, and that's probably worth mentioning, that Orchard 1 today is the one you should use if you need to go to production with .NET-based TMS.
Kind of sad that you can't use .NET Core right now because it's there, but there is no CMS for that. But at the same time, you don't want to take a risk. It doesn't work. The Orchard 2 doesn't work. You could not do more than just a few pages and a blog with Orchard 2,
right,
or use the modularity of Orchard 2 to make your own application. But right now, it's not usable.
And that in itself is something that's very interesting. Orchard 2 is factored into smaller pieces so that you can actually take some pieces of Orchard and use them in another application.
Yes, there are two aspects there. So one of the main goals with Orchard 2 is to make an application framework, a modular application framework that people can use to build their own applications with modules. Mm. Okay. And based on that, we are also building a CMS using modules. So the Orchard CMS is an ecosystem of modules to have a CMS application. But Orchard itself can be used as a framework to build your own apps, modular web apps. At the same time, we have some modules and projects in Orchard 2 that could be used today in any other app which is not Orchard. That because we had to build some stuff that makes sense for us and that could make sense for many, many people. There are even more in Orchard 1, but in Orchard 2 so far we have for instance, an event bus that lets your module communicate in process with messages. We have the notion of background tasks. If you want to run some tasks every 5 minutes, let's say, while your app is running, we have the notion of deferred tasks. Let's say you want to enlist an action to be run after the end of the request. Like you're processing a request and then you want to enlist something to run, but when the request is done, you can do that. And we needed that for Orchard 2, so there are just packages that you can also take into your own app, even if you don't want to use Orchard. So they are not really packaged in a way that they are on NuGet and they have their own website and so on, but usually when I see questions on the forums and on the GitHub issues, I point them to these projects in Orchard 2 so that they can take it and copy it and use it as is. There's still some work to make releases out of these different components.
Do you have any plans to release some of those on NuGet?
So far, I don't have any plan, but we should do it. And if anyone wants to take ownership of any package, then I assume anyone can build a NuGet package to ship it and make a website for that or make some documentation for it. There are some which should be done, which we should take the time to do. Like we have a resource management project to manage scripts and CSS, from different components that will take part into the same view in MVC. And this is very useful for people who create view components in MVC or have modules. And yeah, this should be used for MVC. So this one, if there is one that should be exported into its separate package and be reused, yeah, it should be done like this. Yeah, someone should do that. I could do it, but
it seems like if the goal really is that you can take bits and pieces to use in another application, it would make sense that it would be on NuGet, right?
So, yep. Yeah. I agree.
Okay, cool. We agree on something.
Yeah.
It happens sometimes.
No, I always agree with you. You know that.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be convinced.
So you talked about some of the challenges with building a CMS on, well, not so much actually, on .NET Core. So yeah, what was challenging? Because this actually started pretty early, back when .NET Core wasn't actually officially released. It started very, very early in the lifecycle. So how did you deal, for example, with some of the libraries that were used in Orchard 1 and that you couldn't reuse?
So I started to feel the pain around beta 8, because this is when I started to work really on Orchard 2. Nick had done something with the earlier betas, but I felt what he must have felt just on beta 8. Meaning, yeah, some things were not ready, were moving still fast. So one pain was that to adapt to changes. Like every new beta, we had to change all the package versions, ensure all the breaking changes were compiling, and then at runtime it will still work. So we had some help, for instance, from Alexander Bosharov on GitHub, who someday just sent a pull request to migrate to RC1, for instance. And it was just, yeah, thank you, because it's a lot of work to do, and it's very helpful. So that, and then also all the libraries which didn't exist. And for instance, at some point we were talking about using Lucene, for instance, just as an indexing engine for the data, for the documents. But we are like, yes, it would be good, but Lucene doesn't work on .NET Core.
So we can't. It didn't at the time. It does now.
Okay. It didn't work. But we could not say, okay, let's not work on anything and wait whatever time we don't know about to have it running. So we had to take a decision and use something else. And at the same time, we were confident that these packages will come, like also image management. Now it's there. Image processor is there now and works well, so we can use that. But we are still not working on that. But yeah, there were some questions about all these packages which were not available. And also some things which were easy, I would say, in .NET Framework 4.5, because all the libraries are there and the experience is there, and you know it will work, because there is a history of 10, 20 years, well, 15 years on .NET Framework, and you know they are there and they work very well. Like dynamic proxies, Castle Core, Castle.NET, when is it available? And we need that. So we had to use another small project from the Microsoft team to build dynamic proxies. Now Castle.NET is there on .NET Core, and it works very well. So we can use that, and we migrated some pieces of that. So we have to take the .NET Core libraries as they are shipped and integrate them into Orchard. And sometimes just wait for them to be released. Like, because now Lucene.NET is available on .NET Core, anyone can migrate the module we had in Orchard 1 into Orchard 2, and it will work. Maybe better.
Without changes?
Sorry?
Without changes in the code?
It will work, I assume, without changes in the code, if Lucene.NET doesn't have any change, but it has any change, because it's a new version of Lucene.NET, of Lucene file system. So, but at the API. But most module will work almost without changes. Just maybe easier, because there are some concepts in Orchard 1 that we made much closer to the ones in .NET Core. Like, let's say if you are in a module and you want to register routes or register services and middlewares, in Orchard 1 there were specific providers, because it was not a first class concept in Orchard 1. In Orchard 2, we made it so that it looks exactly like any other project. So when you want to register a route in Orchard 2, it's like a route in MVC. When you want to register a service or middleware, it's exactly like in ASP.NET. So there is no discrepancy with the framework.
And that sounds like an interesting point to make, which is that ASP.NET has evolved a lot, MVC in particular, since we started building Orchard 1. So, and actually took some of the concepts that were in Orchard and integrated them into MVC, correct?
Not really MVC, but ASP.NET framework, yes, because so there is a guy named Louis Desjardins who made Owen Katana, mm-hmm. and who was the architect of Orchard 1.
Yes.
He joined in 2009, and he worked with you since the beginning of the project on Orchard 1. And and then he started with some other guys in Microsoft the .NET Core, the Project K and .NET Core effort, and ASP.NET on .NET Core effort with the team. And some things that he had done in Orchard, he did bring them in ASP.NET. So some concepts like localization, like the cache management, the cache services, abstracting some concept like the file system, like the clock, all these things he did in Orchard 1. So there are some concepts in ASP.NET that are almost exactly that like what we had in Orchard 1. So which means for Orchard 2, we don't have to do anything in Orchard 2 to do that. It's there as part of the framework, so we don't have... And I will say it's even better.
Like so less code.
It's less code and it's better code. And it's more. It's faster code and better support and better engineers working on these things. So that's very good, yeah.
And you talked about how you were able in Orchard 2 to break things. What exactly did you break?
There is breaking features and there is breaking changes. Like, let's do the same thing but differently. Okay? Like, database access is different. Or refactoring the theming engine, because we, from experience, found some limitations or some nice things to have. But we could not do that in Orchard 1. We can't do that in Orchard 1 because it will be too much breaking. It will break all the modules, all the development, so it will be a new API. So let's make the API different in Orchard 2, based on the feedback we had. Let's make the content management different. The content management is Orchard 1 is, well, the concept for content management are awesome in Orchard 1, and we try to make it even better in Orchard 2, based on the feedback. So this and performance. Let's break the performance. Let's break the performance issue and make it a non-issue in Orchard 2. It's not an issue in Orchard 1, I would say, but let's make it even better in Orchard 2. And for that, let's think about it since the beginning. Okay.
Can you be a little more specific and tell us the kind of performance that you did get with Orchard 1, with and without cache, and how it compares with Orchard 2?
Yeah, it's funny because I mentioned that the first time during your interview of Scott Hunter, I think, on this show, and he was saying that .NET Core was faster than .NET Framework, and as a comment, I posted the numbers. So in Orchard 1, on my machine, okay, which is a black machine, some other colors might have different results, I had around, let's say, 40 requests per second on the sample blog engine without any cache.
Without caching,
And 40 requests per second without caching is awesome for a blog and for all the widgets and the theming and everything. It's great. If you try it with some other open source CMSs on other languages, for instance, famous ones, it will be like three times less than that. So it's already good. But that's without cache. Who will create a website without caching today? I mean, your blog post won't change in 2 hours, so that's fine. You can cache it. And with a cache, we could have on my machine, let's say, 500 requests per second, because the cache is at the MVC level. It's not earlier in the pipeline, so it's kind of not very super fast. But yeah, that works well. And so this is what was for Orchard 1. Now with Orchard 2, at the current state, displaying the same thing like a blog with 10 blog posts and theming and widgets on some parts of the page, then we have between 600 and 700 requests per second without cache. So
faster without cache than Orchard 1 with cache.
Yes. So, and that's part because of .NET Core, because of ASP.NET pipeline, because of ASP.NET MVC also. The guys work a lot on the performance and memory usage and everything. Every component in MVC is crazy. crazy guys.
And because of the data access, maybe?
And because also of the data access and the changes we made in architecture to process things, because everything is async also now in the full pipeline. So yes, these changes made things better.
So we hear numbers from the MVC team that are very impressive, like 1.5 million requests per second, stuff like that.
From the ASP.NET team, not from the MVC team.
Okay, from the ASP.NET team. Yes, that's actually a very good point, because you wouldn't get the same.
You can't.
You can't.
Well, you can, I'm sure, maybe. But
well, so the point being here that those benchmarks are really bare bones and they're just returning a very simple resource. Here we have several levels of abstractions which explain why the numbers are so widely different. But even though they are not millions of requests per second, those are really, really good numbers.
When you compare
for such an application,
million requests per second numbers, they are used to compare things. It's not a number as is. Oh, I get 1 million or 1 billion. No, it's how do you compare to other platforms?
Yes.
Just to convince people, look at us. We are as fast as the ones you thought that were very fast. We are even faster.
Yes.
And this is why the numbers are interesting, because for us, let's say we have one SQL query.
So here, what you want to compare with is WordPress, Joomla,
at the same level.
On the same machines. And
we will never be as fast as something which has nothing, because we have to do something at the end. Okay. And yeah. And the only thing that could make everything the same performance would be the cache, because every website will be behind a cache layer. Okay. Let's take Nginx. Whatever site I put behind Nginx, it will be the performance of Nginx.
Of course.
So I could put a crappy app and a super fast app. Nginx will be the one being the bottleneck. It won't be a bottleneck.
Yes.
But I will see the speed of Nginx. It's like in a traffic jam.
Yes.
But in a traffic jam, the Ferrari and the Tata car have the same speed.
But there are many web applications that actually cannot use the cache. You mentioned the blog, and that's very cacheable. But there are applications where you have hundreds of thousands of content items, for example, and they are all equally likely to be requested. In that case, caching is not going to help a lot. Mm-hmm. So
we still need to make
Still need performance without cache. Yeah,
I agree.
Okay. Why do we agree on everything?
You can do the interview by yourself.
Yeah. So how about a little demo?
Demo, okay. Of Orchard 2.
You need to... Oh, okay. That actually works.
Demo. I don't have any script ready, so just ask questions and I will show you, because you know what I could show and not show. So this is Orchard 2. This is .NET solution, .NET Core solution in Visual Studio. If you want to take it, it's on GitHub. So the URL is orchardcms/orchard2. And what I'm showing is just something, the thing which is on GitHub, not the master branch, but my working branch. You can file issues and see what's in the pipeline. There is one pull request right now. Recipes are back in good. There is a wiki, which is interesting because we have a roadmap here. And this is what we have done so far and where we are at, what we call alpha, and the next goals. This can be changed, and anyone can look at the roadmap and take one of these things from the roadmap and participate in the project. And that's the website. And so when you clone the repository and you just open the solution, you get this. And you can just go and run F5. And the solution will be started after compilation and run. So in this case, my default project is what I call the Orchard CMS web project. This project is using all the Orchard services and components to make a CMS. So there are core projects, and there are also modules for the CMS, like content fields, body, admin, resources, navigation. All these things are for the CMS app that is built based on modules. These are just modules. And this web app is targeting to make a CMS with these modules. This is why the first screen here is a setup screen, which actually comes from the setup module. So if I just remove this module, I don't have a setup screen when I have no site running. And here, so this screen is nice, and this is the only thing which is nice in Orchard. But we are taking...
What do you mean it's the only thing that's nice
in Orchard 2, I mean. It's a lot of work to do. I mean,
yes,
in Orchard 2, this is the only thing which is nice so far, because it's the first page.
So setup has been the focus of many efforts since the beginning of Orchard. We've always tried to, and I'm saying we because I actually participated in that one, we have always tried to keep the setup screen as minimalist as possible, right? So that you only have to enter as little information as possible, and the rest comes later through configuration. But
yep.
We are just asking you for the name of the administrator, his password, what database to connect to, and the recipe.
A recipe, yes. So here, the name of the site, demo, this is the one I use all the time. A recipe is like a script. It's a set of settings and features that you want to be part of your site. And we have here in Orchard 2 a single recipe, which is a core recipe. In Orchard 1, you will see blog recipe to create a blog with blog posts and some theme and so on. You will get a default recipe with some pages and content. So
that's the initial configuration of your website. But once you've chosen a recipe, it doesn't mean that you're limited by it. You can still add modules, configure them, and so on.
Is that a question?
No.
Okay. That's true. So yeah, it's just some step to take part of the setup. And because it's a CMS here, we need a database. If you had your own application, you might not need a database, and you might not have this on your screens. So here I can select SQL Server. I can use any other relational database. I have a provider for SQLite, but it could be used for any other database, just what to do. Table prefix in case you have multiple sites in your same database, and I do, so I need a new prefix. Connection string to your database. This is mine. A super user, which is the default user that will be created by Orchard, the Orchard CMS, because we need a user account to access the dashboard, you will see, so email, a password, and that's it. So hit setup. And after a few seconds, the core recipe steps have been executed. Let me show you what we have in the recipe here, just to explain what happened. So the recipes are in this folder, and we have only one recipe. It's a JSON document. And a recipe is made of steps, like some scripts. And here we have 1, 2, 3 steps. The first step is just telling Orchard what modules and features should be used with this site. And here I'm using all the modules and features that I have in my module folder, okay, just because it's easier. If you had, if you wanted to target a specific site, you will decide which modules to use with your application. And some of these modules are themes. The theme, the admin, and safe mode are 3 themes. And then the second step is to actually define which themes are used in Orchard. In Orchard, we have a front end and a back end. And each of those sections of the application can have different theme. So for the site itself, I will use the theme called the theme. And for the dashboard, I will use another theme, the admin. And they have different semantics and UI. And then the last step is defining some settings for the site. In this case, we will define the route, the MVC route, that will be used as the home page. And in this case, I'm redirecting to the home of the index action of the home controller of the demo module. Okay, it could be anything, because your site can use any module with any controllers. And here I need to define a home route, and I point it to there. And recipes are extensible, so any module can provide different kind of steps, like creating content, creating users, whatever you want, and it's extensible from every module. So these different steps are provided by different modules. Okay, and the only module that is enabled by setup is the recipes module, which is itself able to bootstrap all the other modules, like enabling other modules, and then using the next steps to execute. So that's done. So here the recipe created well, forwarded me to the homepage of a demo page, which is just there to test things. Like I can type something in a text box and create a content item, and it will display it. Okay, that's very simple, just to be sure everything is working. And we also have a dashboard link and a login link. So if I try to go to dashboard, it will find that I'm not authenticated and redirect me to the authentication page. And this authentication page is actually provided by the Orchard Users module. So we have a module to manage users and to support authentication and authorization. Okay, this module provides that. And this is where this view is coming from. And here I can use the user I created during the setup, which is a super user. Okay, and now I'm logged in and I can access the admin section. The admin section is just a set of controllers and views that are written when they have the slash admin prefix or when they are marked as admin views. And this way, when we see that they are admin views or actions, then we'll ensure that you have the correct permissions to access that and also display things differently with a different theme and a menu and things like this. So any module can plug also into this admin section, but it's the same application in the end. So here...
So even the core of Orchard is implemented as modules, which is why you can replace anything with your own customized version.
So Orchard itself doesn't do anything. Everything you see comes from a module, correct? So
yeah, there is some bootstrapping, but after that, it's all modules.
Exactly. Like this admin logic is from the Orchard admin module. So if I don't enable this feature, this module, then I will not have anything when I go to slash admin. If I log in, like, yes, you are logged in, but there is no admin to see, so 404. And other modules will depend on the fact that they know there is an Orchard admin and provide stuff for that will work with this module.
And so that's an environment where that is very collaborative. That kind of makes me think of microservices or something like that.
It's like microservices, but in process.
Yes.
They are all independent. They can have all have their own database layer, storage layer, all their services. They can communicate with messages using an event bus, which is in process message event bus. They are independent. They can depend on others to be there, to be able to work, or they can just be, I'm aware that there could be a module like this, but I don't require it. So they are all completely independent, but they work together. And there can be an ecosystem of microservices, aka modules. For every ecosystem, there are some common features and services that you will provide to all your modules. Like the Orchard CMS ecosystem is based on content management services and APIs. Okay. Mm. And then all the modules in this ecosystem will be able to access that and participate in the ecosystem. But anyone can create any other ecosystem. Like, let's say I want to create an e-commerce ecosystem. I will create some modules to manage products, which might also depend on content management. But yeah, you will create an e-commerce ecosystem and then let people create modules, or just your company create modules around this ecosystem. And then you expose it as a gallery of modules for this ecosystem, and you go.
Right. There are even applications that are using the Orchard code base to create custom applications such as CRM or...
Yeah. So what is interesting with Orchard 1.0.2 is that it's also multi-tenancy. So when you deploy one web application, you can run as many websites as you want. Okay. They are just a logical concept of separations in Orchard, like with different modules, different configuration, connection string.
So for instance, the ASP.NET blogs are implemented on Orchard using multi-tenancy. So how many blogs running on many servers?
Your blog is running on Orchard.
Yes.
Yeah. And we have 800 blogs running on an Azure instance. On a single Azure instance, we have 800 blogs. And they are just one deployment, but each prefix here points to a different Orchard database, site, configuration.
Yes, and when I manage my own website, it feels as if I had my own Orchard site. I can enable modules, disable them. The only thing I cannot do is install new modules, because that would be dangerous. But
you can't.
Well, you can, but I can't. Yeah, you can. But I can set up my modules any way I want, and it feels exactly like I had my own separate website, yep.
And
which is
different
very
themes
nice.
You see here, this blog has a theme with a red polo. You have a theme with...
Yeah, it's some guy who works at Microsoft.
With some demons or whatever.
Some other guy.
Pumpkins. You have ads he doesn't have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I make a fortune every month with that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, that's what is multi-tenancy about here. And yes, some people use Orchard to make vertical applications, software as a service. So they build a set of modules for their ecosystem. And then they set up this ecosystem in place and they go find some customers. Hey, I have an ecosystem of, a very famous example in Orchard is car sales. There is a company who made lots of modules for managing car sales and all the cars and with the database that they have and they sell to the customers. And the customers go to their this company and say, oh, I want a website for my car sales company. And maybe one click and they have a website and they can create a custom theme for their customer and enable some features and modules based on, I don't know, pricing, like bigger options to have more modules.
Yeah, and the difference with something like Squarespace, for example, is that really you have the vertical application. You can add some specific modules, for example, to manage your cars or et cetera, right? Okay.
Yeah, so this is the admin, and so far we don't have that many modules to work with, but for the content management, we can already, because we wanted to validate all the new concepts in the content management, you can already do some things with that. Like, oh, I can go to the users, and with the users module, I can create a new user and give it some roles, and I can also manage the roles themselves, and a role is a set of permissions. Okay, so I can enable permissions for all my users if I want.
And those permissions are also contributed by modules.
By modules. This is part of the ecosystem. The ecosystem says, in a CMS, we have permissions. Then every module from this ecosystem, in this case, the content management, can reuse permissions and provide permissions. Like if I go, let's see, for the admin, you see the admin feature has a permission called access admin panel. So I can only, as a user, access the admin panel if I have this permission. And here I see that the contributor role doesn't have access to the admin panel, which is kind of sad. But if I go to the administrator, he can access the admin panel, which is good. And this permission is just provided here somewhere in a class implementing the iPermission provider, which is part of the CMS ecosystem. Okay, and define who has this permission by default, which role. And then it can be changed dynamically using the UI. The UI, which is provided by...
So I'm going to ask a question I know the answer for. But so if I'm a module author and I need to implement one of those service interfaces, do I have to reference DLL where that interface is defined?
In this case, yes.
Oh, so I didn't know the answer.
Yes, in this case, yes, because... You can take reference on the ecosystem itself and say, oh, I want to implement that. There are some interfaces that you don't have to, that don't have to exist to be able to work. Like, let me show you an example, because I know what you mean. So any interface that implement iEvent Handler, where is the event handler? Here. An example is there are so many. Setup event handler. This one is an interesting one. So a setup event handler is just an interface that is declared here. You see, I have the interface declaration and the usage here. Okay, and I have a setup with a username. But if I look in the, and it's in the settings module, but if I look in the setup module, there is an interface, I setup event handler, which has the same name, but many more things. This is the root iSetup Event Handler interface in the setup module. And actually, one service from the setup module will resolve all the iSetup Event Handler implementations and call them with all this information, site name, username, email, all the things that were in the setup screen. But some other modules are aware that there might be a setup module going on. They don't want to depend on that. They can work without it. But in case it's there, they can react to some events or when this interface is resolved and used. So for instance, the settings module that we just saw, I have a service called setup event handler that implements an I setup event handler, so the same name with a setup method, the same thing, and one of the parameters has the same name, not all the ones. But here, this class will then be invoked when the setup module just say, oh, invoked every I setup event handler, called their setup with all these properties. So this event bus will actually let the modules communicate without having without being coupled. It's a decoupling the modules, but not being dependent, but be aware that there could be something like this. So you know that there could be a setup event that comes and you want to react to that. So that's just, like you said, as microservices, they want to communicate even without depending from each other. So this is how it works in this case.
What's nice also in this case is that you have an event bus, but you don't communicate by calling a send message method or something like that. You actually import, you inject an interface, and then you talk to that interface.
We might change that.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, this is why we need dynamic proxies, because in this case we create fake implementation of the actual interface and forward the calls to some other implementation which match the same name of the interface and the name of the method.
Yeah, so that's a very elegant and clean programming model. Why would you change it then? And change it to what?
To more explicit, like send a message with this class, and they will still match by name, but it will not be like resolving the interface. It will send the setup event handler message. Setup message.
Okay, so is the concern here that the same that like when we had web service proxies, where people don't really realize that they are actually calling onto an event bus?
In this case, it's more a technical issue with the dependency injection implementations that we have in .NET.
Okay.
Autofac made it very easy. We are trying to make it work for any DI system. So we can't use Autofac-specific features, for example.
I see. Okay. I suppose I should
check
the
details. The idea here is being able to register a service with multiple interfaces. So Autofac does that. So we can register a service which implements one service and an event handler.
Oh, okay.
That's the issue. But so, yeah. And so in my demo and modules to create types, like because it's content management, I can create a new content type, like I could create a blog post, I could create a blog. Like I don't have a blog feature in Orchard, but I can create a blog because the content type system is extensible. So if I create a blog type, I can add behaviors and data to my blog type. And here I just provide a body, which is an HTML editor, or text editor, a list, and a title. So a blog is actually a, let's not create the blog first. I will create a blog post, because the blog require a blog post. So if I create a blog post, I say a blog post as a title and a body, and I can add fields to my
blog. So those were parts that you can assemble into a type, and those parts are provided by modules as well.
Correct.
So if I have a comments module, I can add the comments part and
to a blog post,
yeah,
or to anything else that requires a comments set of comments. And if I had a field like I don't know, topic, category, whatever, save. So you can also add just pieces of data to your content types. So here I have a body, a title, and I have a topic. Let me try to... I won't do that, yeah. Let's not do that first. And if I go to my blog itself, I can say that my blog has the list behavior. It's a list. It's a list of blog posts. So here I can say add the behavior of a list to my blog, saying a blog is a list of blog posts. And I will go now to my content, to my blog post, and just say I cannot create blog posts directly and list them. I need to go from the blog. So now if I see the new icon here, I can just create a blog. I can't create a blog post. But if I go to blog, I didn't add anything, I think, to my blog. Let's see. Yes, I have a list, but I also need
a title.
And now if I create a blog, I can define a title. And I will call it my blog. Publish.
Boom.
And it doesn't work. Sorry. It used to work. Yep, sad. But it was working before. I've done this demo many times, so it just be a. It's a demo, so that had to fail.
Of course.
Sorry.
And it's a pre-release.
It's not even a pre-release.
Not even. It's an alpha.
It works. It usually works. That's sad. I will create another content type. Maybe it's the order of things I've done. Let me try again quickly. It usually works. Content types. A new type. I will create a blog too. With a title as a list. And I will edit the list to say it's a list of blog posts. Okay. And if I create a new blog too, yep, it really doesn't want to work right now. I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah.
It used to work. Okay. But you can create a new. Let's see if I can create a blog post at least. I will hack into that. Say now it's creatable and listable. That's so sad. New blog post. You see, title. Body, topic, the field I added. And here the title is below the body, so it's not nice. But they don't know each other, so they don't know how to be rendered. So you can go in the type and say you want your title to be before the body. And then the fields of the blog post after that. So if I now create a new blog post, the title is at the top. So you can reorder the different parts of your content
nice.
Types. First blog post. Some content, publish. So it's published. Now I can see my. All the blogs have been created, actually. That's weird. There's just a failure at some point. So if I go to my blog and I go see my blog, this is where it fails. It doesn't want to show my blog. Okay, fine.
So Orchard One has a number of very, very nice and advanced features, such as the layout editor or taxonomies. Are there any plans to bring them over to Orchard 2? And do we know approximately when?
The plan is to bring everything. And let's say we have 50 modules to bring to Orchard 2. Let's say everyone takes one module. In 1 week, it's done. Let's say one guy brings all the modules. In 50 weeks, he's done. Well, 100. Because you get the idea.
That makes sense.
The more people work on migrating modules to Orchard 2, the faster it will be. And so right now, the answer to when is someday, when it's ready. There are different steps, though. Like, we can ship today to build the modular application, and it will work. There is just no modules. Build your own modules, your own apps with your own modules. If you want a CMS, you will have to wait at some point to have enough modules to be able to build the site you want.
Yeah.
If you want all the modules from Orchard One, it will be even longer.
Mm. Okay, but are there features that are not yet there? I mean, for example, taxonomies. Could I look at the taxonomy code and bring it over, or are there still problems that would prevent me?
I don't think there would be anything to prevent you from implementing taxonomy, search module, widgets, layouts, anything right now, because the theming engine is there, it works. Content management APIs are there, they work when they don't fail on demos.
So we just need more people to...
Just need more people, yeah.
to look at them.
Or more time. Just to wait.
Yeah.
But we have stuff working. And also, minus the changes we would like to make in order to for these different modules, because we know, oh, we don't use this feature, or we need this feature instead, or we can do that in many steps, like, oh, let's ship taxonomy with this set of features and ship it, and then add more features after. So, so yeah, prioritizing. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to show?
I don't think so.
Okay. So let's repeat what we've seen today was Orchard 2, which is an alpha thing that's not even been released. You can just clone the repository, compile it, and run it.
Yep.
But you shouldn't use it in production. It's very, very early. And if you want a CMS that works, there are actually a few for .NET. There is Orchard 1, there is Umbraco, there is .NET Nuke, and quite a few others. So, yep. And that's pretty much all the time we had today. So thanks for being on the show, Sébastien.
Thank you.
I'll probably ask you to come back when Orchard 2 actually has a release.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Or even if there is a new release of Orchard 1 that you want to show, you're always welcome here.
You're the host, you tell.
Yeah, if I don't have a more important guest. Or
good. next week's will be also interesting.
Who do we have next week?
I think Jean-Baptiste.
Oh, yeah, true, yeah.
It's a French show again.
Yes. Yeah, it's all French.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's horrible. Jean-Baptiste is working with Unity on the Unity plugin for Visual Studio, and he's a friend as well. So
and he's the author of Mono Cecil.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's not forget that. Very, very nice library. Well, thanks again, and bye everyone. We'll see you again next week.